The Lessons, written by Naomi Alderman and read by Jock Davies.
Like the beautiful bodies of those who died before they had aged, sadly shut away in a sumptuous mausoleum, roses by the head, jasmine at the feet, so appear the longings that have passed without being satisfied, not one of them granted a night of sensual pleasure or one of its radiant mornings. Longings by C.P. Cavafy. Translated by Edmund Keeley and Philip Sherard. Prologue. When I returned from San Ceterino late in the afternoon, I found that Mark and his friends had thrown half the food in our kitchen into the swimming pool. Through the clear water, I could see a panettone dissolving into a shimmer of red and green crystallized fruit, while the poolside tiles were smeared with yolks and broken shell fragments. A sodden pizza lolled lazily on the bottom of the pool, flapping at one edge like a mottled tongue. Jars of artichokes and peppers had spilled an oil slick across the surface of the water. Ripe tomatoes and peaches, two bunches of grapes, a selection of wax paper-wrapped cheeses and cartons of milk were strewn across the underwater tiles, still intact. A poached salmon had broken into fragments, chunks of it floating by the pool filter. And among the food, various other forms of debris. A plastic garden chair, cigarette ends, a soggy paperback still barely afloat. A quiche was ground to eggy mush on the tiles. I nudged it with the toe of my plimsoll. I looked around. No one in sight. I'd only been gone since 10 a.m. Mark must have called his friends almost as soon as I left. Faint strains of television chatter drew my attention to the converted stable block behind me. Yes. Deal with the kids first, then find Mark. I walked down the gravel path towards the stable block's lounge. The television was louder here, and I could hear occasional laughter and bursts of Italian conversation. I pushed open the door. The room was stiflingly hot. Clothing and half-empty bags of snacks were strewn over the floor. A CD had apparently been used as an ashtray. Three nearly naked brown bodies were draped over the sofas. Stefano and Bruno were wearing only shorts, feet dangling over the arms of one sofa. Stefano's sister, Magdalena, was lying on her back on the other, wearing a pair of jeans and an orange bikini top, a carton of popcorn balanced on her stomach. Three pairs of eyes flicked up at me, then back to the television screen. Wily Coyote was attempting to heave a boulder over a cliff, little realizing that Roadrunner was right behind him. Roadrunner beeped. The coyote dropped the boulder on himself. The three Italians laughed, and I found myself momentarily astonished that there should still be people who watched Wile E. Coyote cartoons and laughed out loud. But they're children, really. Stefano's the eldest, and he can't be more than 18. "Right," I said. "Party's over. Time for you to be going." They looked at me, then back at the screen. Wile E. Coyote had purchased a box of Acme Dynamite. Any moment now, it was going to explode in his face. I picked up a handful of clothing and threw it at the boys. "I said, time to be going." Stefano pouted at me.
"But Mark said we could stay, watch TV."
"I'm sure he did, but now I'm telling you to leave." Stefano looked at me sullenly, trying to gauge whether I had any power in this situation. Still, he was young, and I'd been a teacher for long enough to know how to return the stare. If he'd been a year or two older, he'd have faced me down, sworn at me. But then, if he'd been a year or two older, Mark wouldn't have been interested.